You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, April 17th, episode 3929, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
Well, technology is making huge advancements for horses, and Greg Giles from Cavallo Hoof Boots is going to talk to us about a new boot that they're coming out with that's going to look at a horse's soundness and movement and is revolutionizing the horse world as we know it. And he's going to tell us how that works. It's kind of cool. We also do our first look at the Kentucky Derby, and equine history takes us on a very famous ride, plus some really bad ads. And in the Auditor Post show, we're going to follow up on a conversation we had last week, because I have update on that. But first, you and I talked recently about GastroGuard, right? And Omeprazole. The FDA has approved GastroBim, the first generic...
GastroBim.
Yes, GastroBim, the first generic bioequivalent to GastroGuard for treating and preventing gastric ulcers in horses.
Generic GastroGuard?
Yes. I knew you would be excited about this, Jamie, because nobody uses it more than you. Manufactured by Bimeda, who used to be an advertiser of ours, it's an apple-flavored oral paste that provides a rigorously tested, more affordable alternative to the brand name standard. Previously available in Europe and Canada, it's set to launch in the United States market soon. So it'll be available strictly by prescription still, so you still have to get it through veterinarians, but it's supposed to be much, much cheaper than the other alternative. You have to give it to horses and foals for 4 weeks, and then you give it for a follow-up, less often for a follow-up four-week maintenance period. So I don't know. I'm waiting to see what the prices are going to be. Having done Omeprazole for myself, you know, I know what that's like.
And for people though, like I just did a course of it too. It's so cheap, and I go to Costco and get it. And so I was like, why can't I just crush up these pills and jam it in the horse?
I bought it from Amazon, and this is the name brand one. I bought it from Amazon, the human one. I got 3 rounds of it. You're not even supposed to do it, but every 4 months if you need it. And it was $18 for 3 rounds. No.
Why is that? I guess horses are bigger, maybe. I don't know. But it seems like it should. This is exciting news because it's one of those things that you just suck it up and get it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just suck it up and get it. I shipped Amigo all the way from California and all that drama. And I was like, man, he's going to need some help. He's thin and he needs GastroGuard. And then I've got this racehorse that came in and that racehorse that came in. And they all require it. So it would be nice to have it so much more cost efficient.
I think a lot of people have been buying it overseas and having it shipped is what's been happening. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's still a prescription. Is GastroGuard a prescription, or is that you can?
I don't know about GastroGuard. I just buy UlcerGuard because UlcerGuard you can just buy over the counter, and UlcerGuard is basically, they say it's 4 treatments because it's a maintenance dose, and GastroGuard is the actual cure, the one that cures you, but it's the exact same. They just break up the tube into 4 spots. So I don't know how that all works. I don't know, but.
Well, there's hope, everybody, that we may have competition to make. It's always competition. It makes things cheaper, right? So let's hope so. That's some good news.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
Okay, in the last couple of weeks, I had a couple of people write to me that really didn't want their whole name said on the birthday winnies. and I can't keep track of who wants what. And I'm too old for that stuff. So this
plus,
is
you mispronounce them all anyway. So it's probably better.
It's probably better. That's what I thought too. But anyway, I'm going to do first names and last initial. I'm just going to go with that because I can't keep track. There's some people that are on Facebook that expect me to remember their birthdays. I don't remember. I barely remember Jennifer's birthday. Okay, so
you forget your anniversary every year.
I do. So happy birthday to the following auditors: Patricia C, Jane T, Melissa L, and Dominique, the Zevers R Us, our friend from Zevers R Us, who's a regular guest on this show. Happy birthday to all of you.
You know, I talked earlier this week about how wonderful Horse and Hound was because we're trying to figure out how to get this horse that came to me for training to get this chip taken out of his fetlock. And I just kind of said, hey, everybody, like, really proud of this organization. So instead of going to Starbucks today, if you could just PayPal Horse and Hound your coffee money, just coffee money. Well, I mean, ask and ye shall receive. Thank you, Steph, for she put... Jamie Jennings, just letting you know, I sent my coffee money to Horse and Hound this morning. Loved yesterday's update on the unraced horse with the chip and his future surgery. So I just really want to thank you for sending that. And then also another Daily Winnie, and this is hot off the press. Oh. Introducing my new BFF William. Jessica Troop got a new horse. She said she's going to call him Liam. And he's an Andalusian that she just got from her trainer. And he's a doll on the ground and a joy to ride. And now I'll be listing a bunch of tacks that I have that definitely won't fit him. Yeah, dude, I get it. I have tried 3 saddles now on Amigo and it's laughable, but I can't like get a custom saddle because he's 3 and skinny. He's going to change completely. So I'm like just making my way through all my saddles and trying to figure out what I can. I think I'm going to end up riding him in a bareback pad. Honestly, I don't know.
All right, Kentucky Derby is coming up quickly. You know, we always have this problem in that Kentucky, you know, Monday show is going to be devoted entirely to Land Rover, to the 3-day event. And then what happens is
Defender.
You...
I think it's Defender now.
I can't keep
just
tracking.
Say Kentucky 3-day.
3-day event. So we're going to be devoted to totally to a Kentucky 3-day event. And then you go, right? So we're a couple of shows are pre-recorded. And then you get back and we kind of do a wrap-up of the 3. And then we're right at the Kentucky Derby. So I thought we'd take an early look at the names because you all know how I pick the winners of the Kentucky Derby or any race I bet on for that matter. And we have some early names that are coming out that are probably going to be racing. And I thought we'd just take an early look at the names to see if there's anything that jumps out at me as a potential winner. Now, I believe it or not, and Jamie will vouch for this, I have gotten this right more often than I should, but by doing this just by name. I should not have gotten this right as many times as I have. But in any case, the number one commandment...
I'm going to let you have that. You've done it like once.
I've done it a couple times. Commandment is currently sitting at the top of the leaderboard. He's won the Florida Derby, and he's looking like the horse to beat. He is a Brad Cox horse. So Commandment, kind of an ordinary name, I think. It doesn't jump out at me. Further Ado. So Further Ado, which kind of has another Brad Cox horse, has been doing very well this year. So they're looking at him in number 2 spot. Renegade, Todd Pletcher horse, just won the Arkansas Derby.
Favorite.
Yeah. Is that right?
He won the Arkansas Derby and another one of the derbies. And the only horse to do that since it was American Pharoah. So Renegade's looking pretty good.
You know, does some of these names, when I see them, surprise me that they've never been used before? You know, like Renegade?
Well, they can be used again. It just has to be a certain amount of years
Or they didn't win a big race or something, that, you know. Like you couldn't use a secretariat again, I doubt, you know.
Some of them are retired. It's like retiring a baseball jersey. You're just done.
Gotcha. The Puma is also in the top 4. And then here's some of the other names in the top 10. So Happy, which kind of is a good name.
Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah, I do too. Full Effort, all one word, Full Effort, kind of says what it is. Silent Tactic. You know, Silent Tactic sounds like one of those that's just going to be quiet in the back and then come up and win it, right? Another one like that is Emerging Market, which if you're in stocks, I guess is a good one. Albus Dumbledore is what I thought of when I thought of Albus.
That's exactly what I think of.
Do you think he was named after Albus Dumbledore? We have to look that up.
It has to be.
That's a Riley Mott horse that won the Wood Memorial at long odds, so probably it'll be a little bit. And Potenti. Bob Baffert horse, which means we can't root for him at all. So there's...
You want to talk about me holding a grudge. You hold a grudge just as long. I love it.
So there's the early contenders. We'll be talking more about these, obviously, as we go down the line. But have you been following it at all yet, or are you just not tuned in at all yet?
I'm always looking at stuff, but I got to get through Kentucky and then I cram. I mean, I always watch all the prep races kind of coming up, but I definitely can't. It's just so hard to focus on the two things in 2 weeks.
Well, we'll have a show or two to do that as well as we get into that week. But it's always fun. It's one horse race I watch every year. Well, and you know, sometimes the other two. But that's it.
You watch the Preakness until like one horse doesn't the
exactly.
horse that won the Derby doesn't win the Preakness.
Then I'm out. Give up.
Now, don't forget, we actually did a recorded interview with very famous racehorse journalist Steve Haskins. So Steve is going to come on. We talked to him about the Derby, but we're also going to, you know, you're going to hear it after the Derby. So it'll be kind of in the midst of the next month, but it's going to be, make sure you listen to that one. It was really fun.
It was another great, you do really good at the one-on-one interviews. And that one was really
focused.
Good. When she takes her meds, she's really good at the one-on-one interviews. All right, let's hear about Kentucky Performance Products and go to our first guest.
Is your horse struggling with respiratory problems? This includes issues like intermittent coughing, nasal discharge, seasonal allergies, poor performance, or difficulty breathing during exercise. Kentucky Performance Products has a new supplement, Airwise, that can help. Airwise is formulated using a potent blend of high-quality antioxidants and micronutrients. It's research-proven to help horses maintain healthy respiratory function. It has been shown to promote normal respiratory rates, enhance lung function, support a healthy inflammatory response in airways, and maintain immune health. To see if Airwise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Well, our guest today is a sponsor, but could also be in the Where Are They Now segment. He has been on the show several times, and I've known him for over 20 years. You know, when you meet certain people and you just hit it off, well, I met him at a trade show in Philadelphia, and we've been friends ever since. And we've had a few nights and dinners and things together along the way. They've also been huge supporters of the Horse Radio Network since the beginning. Greg Giles from Cavallo. Hey, Greg.
Hey, good morning, Glenn. How you doing?
Good. You really could be on the Where Are They Now segment because we really have had you on for a long time.
Yeah, it has been, as you said, and it has been over 20 years that we've been in this industry. Carol, my wife, and I within this hoofboot business. And yeah, it's been a very interesting journey, as you well know. And now it's certainly, you know, a segment of the industry. We call it the barefoot and booted market that has certainly taken off globally, and it's doing extremely well, and we're helping lots of horses all around the world. And yeah, and now we do everything from mini boots up to draft horses, and recently we just launched the donkey boots for our long-eared friends, and that's been going extremely well.
Because their hooves are a different shape.
They're much longer and narrow. We worked with a farrier guy out of Colorado and Ross Keller, who's very well known in the donkey world, and Megan Hemsley out of California. And we put a lot of effort into it. And it was a lot of trial and error getting that shape right. I mean, it really was. In fact, we made a couple of molds that we had to scrap them and went back to the drawing board to get it really right. And then we got the mold right for the sole. Then we got the upper right. We had to do a bit of adjustment on the upper. It's different to our other boots. But we've ended up with a really great product, and the reception we've been having from it globally has been amazing. We just recently had, a couple of weeks ago, a big request from a company in Egypt. And that's a company that works around the pyramid area there with lots of donkeys. And
it's kind of cute, actually.
Yes. Well, we like our mini boots. We call them CLBs, cute little boots.
Yeah. Well, and you really want to hang the mini boots from your rear view mirror on your in your car. So we're going to talk about something today that's brand new and it has not even in the United States yet. It's in other markets, but this is so high tech. So we don't have time to go through the whole story. So I'm going to ask you to try and give me the kind of the Reader's Digest version. We can start with a tire company helped you out with this.
Yeah. Well, the tire company actually, it's Continental, which is a major, major German-based industrial giant, really. They annual revenue is a bit over 50 billion US. It's quite a staggering organization. And whilst they're very well known for the tires, for the auto industry, they've got various other divisions. And in fact, one of their biggest divisions is making suspension systems for high-speed trains. So they contacted us, and I'll try to do the Reader's Digest version. So it goes back 5 years ago now. It was 5 years ago last September. And they said, listen, we'd like to work with you, to collaborate with you on a device that we're looking to develop. And we said, what is it? They said, we can't tell you, but you've got to sign an NDA. And we got it from their law department, and I've never seen an NDA like it. It was 24 pages. We have a one-page NDA.
Wow.
But this is we're dealing with the German conglomerate now, major company. So anyway, we started with them. And what it was is they had an idea for a concept that they wanted to develop a device that could monitor the performance of a horse in specifically a gait analysis to identify oncoming lamenesses before it could be picked up by the human eye. And that was really the scope. So and their background was, it's interesting, when the company started in 1871 in Germany, two guys were working at a rubber mill and they thought that they needed to go out on their own and they thought, what could they do? And they were sitting in a coffee shop in Hanover, Germany, where their head office is. And they're looking out the window, and here's all the horse and carts of the day going up and down the cobblestone roads. And they said, look at all these horses out here going over these cobblestone roads. They must need some hoof suspension, something to help them out while they're on these roads. So they patented an actual rubber pad that was to go in between the metal shoe and the horse's hoof. And it was for shock absorption for the horses.
Huh.
But they done it. They went into production and launched it, and it went nowhere. They couldn't get the market to accept it back then. The end users said, well, we've been using horses just with the metal shoes. We don't need this pad. So they had to can it, and they actually went into making hot water bottles. And then they evolved into tyres. They made tyres, rubber tyres in for the horse and carts, and then they evolved into vehicles later on. So that was their background, and their logo was a horse. That's what they started with. So 5 years ago when the CEO said, listen, we need to develop something new, they got a group of engineers in and he said, look, I want you to go and look into the market and we want to develop something that's not in the automobile industry because that's been their biggest industry. It's got to be a product that doesn't exist in the market today and it's got to involve artificial intelligence. So this group of engineers then thought, well, because their history was with the horse, they went to the German Olympic team and said, look, is there anything that you need within the equestrian industry that doesn't exist today that would help you? And the German Olympic team said, well, there's one major thing, and that would be dealing with lamenesses and trying to identify oncoming lameness so we can deal with it sooner. And so the engineers went away and said, leave it with us. And all of these engineers, nobody knew anything about horses. It's really quite interesting. So the team of engineers came up and they said, look, we need to get a sensor pad. They identified that it was all about the ground force reaction of the hoof to the ground. So we need a sensor pad. They said, but we need some sort of a receptacle to hold the pad. So they actually went out to the market in Germany and they bought 14 different hoof boots. That's how many different hoof boots are on the market now. And they gave them to the German Olympic team and the German Olympic team tested them and by process of elimination ended up with our boot. And they went back to Consteed or to Continental. Then the department has since been called Consteed. And they said, look, we don't know who this company is. We know nothing about their boots. But this Cavallo boot is the boot that we say you have to use.
So 5 years later, now you've come out with this sensor attached to your boot. Yep. So what's it do?
Yeah, well, what it does is that it's interesting, and I'll keep the short version. They started with three sensors in the boot, realized that wasn't enough enough sensors to get enough sufficient data. Then they went to 5 sensors, and they ended up with 7 sensors, and that was giving them the right amount of data that they needed. So to keep it simple, it really is just, it's measuring ground force reaction. And as it's evolved, the initial thing was to identify oncoming lamenesses. So when a horse has got oncoming lameness, it compensates, and you know, and everybody sort of knows this. But then once it becomes visible to us, you can obviously see it. But prior to being visible to us, horses compensate. So the lameness is coming on. So this device, with the measuring the ground force reaction, can identify the variation in ground force reaction from the left hoof to the right hoof, front and hinds. So that identifies that. But then as they evolved in the development of the boot, they realized they could get a lot more data. The gait analysis is very interesting. So they can get, so they call it the gyro time from lift off, from when the hoof lifts off, how long is it in the air and what is the stride length? And with the 7 sensors, and this is on each hoof, so it's only used for this measuring. It's not, you know, you don't ride out in it. It's just a measuring device. So it goes on the 4 hooves, and they can be in an arena. They can run them up and down in a straight line. They can put them over jumps. And the data that transmits via AI, and it's Wi-Fi to the iPad or to the cell phone, it shows you the pressure point. So it's landing a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left, and different hooves can be different. So it identifies all of that. And then it's the oncoming lameness issues. And that's been the big thing. But what they've really identified now, that with these elite horses in particular, but it's relevant for all disciplines, but the elite horses are the ones that are really jumping onto it, because then they can benchmark their horses. And, you know, one particular horse in a stable is doing particularly well and winning lots of races in whatever discipline, competitions. And then, you know, other horses are not doing as well. So then they can compare the data, and it gives them a baseline to say, well, okay, here's what the horses that are winning, here's their data, here's their baseline, the benchmark. So we've got to get these other horses up to that. And it could be anything that varies from the training methods or to corrective shoeing. And the other thing I should mention is that they developed the boot so that it can be used with barefoot horses or shod horses.
Oh, wow.
Which the majority of these elite horses, you know, we acknowledge they are shod.
Right.
But you know, there are several now that are being barefoot as well. So the boot can be worn on shod or barefoot horses.
And I imagine AI helps a lot here. You know, doing this 10 years ago would have been much different. AI now can take all of that analysis in seconds and then tell you what it sees, whereas before that would all have been done manually, right?
Yeah. This is real-time data analysis. Like, it's immediate.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And who's using it now? It just came out, right? I know you've been working on it a long time.
They launched, because they're obviously German-based, so they launched it actually in Germany. What they've done is in Germany, they've sold about, so they call it a system. So a system is 4 boots, so it goes on one on each hoof. And so they've sold about 1,000 systems so far in the Germany market. And now they're rolling it out into Holland, and they've now just appointed a UK distributor, and he'll be starting in July this year. And we attended with Conti, came out from Germany in December last year for the AAEP, the American Association of Equine Practitioners, the vet show, which was in Denver, Colorado. And Carol and I were there with them, and they've identified 5 different clinics in the US, and the systems are being shipped actually hopefully next month. And they're going to come to our warehouse in the US in Washington State. And we're going to distribute them to the 5 identified clinics. And they'll be doing the validation for the Consteed hoof boot in the US market. And then the intention is that they will roll it out to the general market the latter part of this year and the early part of 2027.
And this is really meant for vet clinics, for trainers, for things like that, right?
Well, it is, Glenn, but you know, the ideal scenario is, as it evolves, it'll end up with recreational play, just pleasure horses as well.
Okay.
So that we see that for that market, it'll be more likely farriers. They'll buy the systems, and then when they go to do the shoeing or trimming, whatever it is, they'll then say, would you like a Consteed test on your horse? And then the data remains with the horse owner. So it can be on their device. And so every time they come and trim the barefoot horses or shoe the horses, then the owner also gets to keep that. If they want to do, and they'll charge me, it'll be a user pay fee thing, X dollars per service, and they'll have that data there. and they'll be able to then monitor their own horse's performance over, and then it's forever. Like, you know, the longer you go with the horse, this is in the cloud forever. And we done, in fact, it was interesting, in Denver, Colorado, we got access to the Colorado University's, the equine division. They've got an indoor arena just outside of downtown Denver. And we went and done a live demo there for a group of vets. And it was very interesting. And one of the vets, a leading internet global vet, he said, like, this is absolutely groundbreaking. He said, you know, people have tried, there's been various attempts with other devices to try to do this in terms of identifying oncoming lameness, but nothing's really worked. And this is like, you might hear about in lots of universities and that in particular, and some of the better training facilities, they have force plates.
Right.
So it's on the ground and they get the horses to try to stand on it to do this. Well, this is really like a force plate on each hoof. Our traditional market, I've got to say, you know, has been, we call them the pleasure rider, trail rider in the UK, happy hackers, and we love them. And, you know, they're our customers and we love them. But this is taking us into that elite. You know, we are now getting into the elite of all the disciplines in the world. And, you know, it's co-branded and it's interesting, the spin-off we've had. We've already had various end users, the vets and trainers in Germany, now buying our boots and using it on their horses for just rehabilitation, or they're using it for transporting them. And some are now even going down the barefoot path and saying, okay, we'll go barefoot and use your boots when required. Great. So it's a great, great, you know, feather in our cap to be, and the money they've put into, it's significant. It's millions that they've been. So you needed a company like this that had the commitment to doing it and the resources to invest at this level.
Greg, I know how much you and Carol put into this company. I know how many thousand-hour weeks, how many days you're actually home a year, which is virtually none. So congratulations. You guys both deserve this, and it's well-earned. CavallaHoofBoots.com. You know, you can get the regular ones without the sensors, too. They're still available. So, and
well,
you
cute colors now, too. Yeah, so
great colors. And you said sizes up to 10?
Yeah, we go up to drafts. We make the biggest hoof boot in the world.
Oh, my God, the thing. You could eat a fair
last week, as you know, at Columbus, Ohio, and we had some draft people come up to us and they said, "Oh my God, this looks great." So, you know, we're measuring up there.
You,
so we go,
you must be able to put a gallon of liquid in that boot. It's like Greg, thank you so much for, and again, thank you also for being a supporter of ours for all this year. You are a visionary. And when I approached you all those years ago and talked about a podcast, you actually got it, which very few people did.
Okay, Glenn, always good to talk to you. You too, Jamie.
Yeah.
Thank you
Take
so
care,
much.
Greg. Appreciate Thanks. It. CavallaHoofBoots.com.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, on this day in equine history, April 19th, the year 2000, is the birthday of Cowtoe. Actually, I did read about this, and he's been pronounced many different ways throughout the years, but the general consensus was Cowtoe. Cowtoe Star.
Cowtoe.
Or apparently announcers used to mispronounce it all the time, so it was funny what I read about that. But do you know Cowtoe Star? Do you know anything about that horse?
I don't.
He was the greatest steeplechaser of all time. He won the King George Chase a record 5 times. To put that perspective, it's one of the hardest races in the world.
Good
and he
Lord.
Won it 5 times. He won 5 out of 6 years in a row. He had a career record of 41 starts, 23 wins, 7 seconds, and 4 thirds, and had a total earnings. Now, keep this in mind. It's steeplechasing.
They can go that long and have run that many races is incredible.
Well, not only that, he held the records at one time in 2 mile, 2.5 mile, and 3 mile, all 3 different distances, and had a total earnings of almost 4 million euro. So
wow!
So he was a very famous. We don't follow steeplechasing so much in this country, but it's really big over there.
Yeah.
On the night of April 18th, 1775, the most famous horse ride in American history began. Paul Revere was summoned by Dr. Joseph Warren to warn Samuel Adams and John Hancock that the British regulars were marching toward Lexington. Contrary to popular belief, the horse Revere that he rode did not belong to him. It was a mare that was called Brown Beauty, and it was borrowed from a Charleston merchant. And, you know, after being rowed across the Charles rowed across the Charles River in a rowboat, Revere mounted Brown Beauty around 11 p.m. and galloped through Medford and Arlington. Now, this is the part that most people don't cover either. When the ride ended, he was captured. So he was captured before he got back home by a British patrol, and he eventually escaped on foot. But the horse was confiscated by the British, and nobody knows what happened to the horse after that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, how brave of a horse to, like, I don't know, get in this rowboat. I can't even get a horse on a damn trailer. Get in this rowboat. We're going to take across the river. And in the dark, this complete stranger is going to get on you and gallop and scream while, like, things are going on in high pressure situation. Oh, I'm sure she went to, like, a very cushy retirement.
I'm sure. Fighting for the enemy. You know, it's interesting how we say, you know, things were better made back then. Well, apparently horses were too. The other day, the author we had on talked about the Twin Spires not being there for the first Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. Remember that? He mentioned that the Twin Spires weren't on there. So that got me thinking, when were they added? So by the early 1890s, Churchill Downs was struggling financially, and the facility looked terrible. It had only been open for like 20 or 30 years, but it looked bad. New management under William L. Lyons wanted to rebrand the track and make it more prestigious and European looking. So they commissioned an architect by the name of Baldez. He was a 24-year-old draftsman to design a grandstand that would stand out from every other racetrack in America. So he originally designed it to be a long, flat roofline, like most of them are. However, he felt it lacked flair, so he added the hexagonal spires to provide a sense of symmetry and grace. They were never intended to be functional for any purpose. They don't house bells, clocks, or observers. They were purely for aesthetics. But what he did want, and remember, this is back in the late 1800s. We didn't have skyscrapers. He wanted them to be the highest thing in the area so that no matter where you were around, you could see the spires. And that's what happened. They were the tallest thing for many years in the whole area around. So when you were coming in to go to the races, you would see them for miles. And
that's cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
You can see it now. You got to be right up on it. Yep. Louisville's.
And it's considered the most photographed landmark in global horse racing. And I believe that. You can't go there without taking a picture of them.
I've got a picture right behind me of the Twin Spires with Secretariat running by with Ron Turcotte looking back at him. Well, about at the horses.
Another interesting thing, they have become so iconic that they are protected by law. The track cannot make any structural changes that would block or significantly alter the silhouette of the spires from trackside view.
Do you know what is funny? That you started this out saying that this is just like when people make either good investments or bad investments, you're talking about how broke Churchill Downs was, and they're like, let's add more.
Yeah.
Like,
apparently it worked.
Dave Ramsey would not approve.
No. They would have he would have poo-pooed the spires. Yeah. It would be a flat roof to this day.
Yep.
And how many racetracks have we gone to? They have flat roofs. That's what they have at the grandstands. All right. It's time to switch gears and do some of these.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware.
Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare.
Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading.
Horse trading.
That's right. It's time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit ads either from Craigslist or Facebook or someplace, and we have a little bit of fun with them. We are giving away prizes next week. We will be giving away the two following things, a tool care kit from Tailcinch. We've been talking about this for weeks. If you haven't go checked it out, go check it out. We're going to give away a Rump Rubber tail guard, some of their reusable tail ties, and their tail ties shampoo detangler. These are really cool products. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, go check them out. Tailcinch.com is the name of the company. I met them at the trade show. Really nice person that runs this company, and it's one of those little family-owned operations that I like so much. Plus, we're going to give a $100 gift certificate from the Equestrian Chocolate Company. Do you know that we ran out of chocolate? I keep little bars of chocolate because then I get portion control around the house all the time. And we ran out about 4 days ago. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing I miss more than having my daily chocolate. Just saying. So if anybody wants to go to EquestrianChocolateCO.com and send me some, I'd be happy to have it. Equestrian Chocolate Companies offer artisanal chocolates that are a blend of fine art and fine chocolate. With every bar, you get a coupon, and the coupon allows you to get a piece of artwork by Tammy Tappan. And these are fine art prints, and they'll send you the print just for buying a candy bar. I'm not kidding. This is really a unique situation. And they have a coupon code, HRN, for $10 off your first order. You got some birthdays coming up or something you're celebrating, EquestrianChocolateCO.com. They all have, all the chocolates have pretty horses on them, and it's inspired by Tammy's art, actually. So check them out today at EquestrianChocolateCO.com and put HRN in for $10 off your first order. Wow, we have a lot of also submitted today. You want to do those?
Yes, we do. Let's see. Amanda, Sarah, Janelle, Faye, Isabel, Jolynn, Savannah, Stephanie, and Carrie. You guys are all entered. The first one comes from Olivia. You got this one.
Okay, this is a first in the history and the tens of thousands of ads we've done over the years.
Oh, wow.
Olivia, you are one sharp cookie. And Olivia sent us three ads, but the three ads are all for the same horse. Okay? And all three ads are written a little bit differently. And guess what's different on all three ads?
What?
The price.
Oh.
So the first ad is for a Greenbrook mare, 11 years old, for $1,700. 11-year-old grade mare, just started a handful of rides, have videos I can send upon request. No buck at all on any ride. Super calm, not a lot of go, just need some handles. Okay? Second ad, Broodmare, 6 months bred, $2,000. Now, first one was $1,700, this one's $2,000, but it's a different ad. Broodmare, 11-year-old, basic work with her, nothing special. Don't have pictures of stud, but do have her last filly. Would like to move her fast, open to some trades, prefer cash. So, obviously, okay. This is later in time, now it's pregnant, and it costs more. Now, we're going to the third ad. 11-year-old mare appears to be in foal, $2,100. It's gone up again. 11-year-old mare appears to be in foal. I got her for her filly that I just weaned off of her. Great mom, raised the best mannered filly I've ever had. She just keeps growing her belly, so that why I say appears to be in foal. Reading this is exactly as it's written.
Yeah, you're doing good.
This is hard. Open to all offers and trades. Would like to get her moved out fast. I guess you would. You've been through one whole baby and still haven't sold this horse. I can also run her with my stud if you would like.
Oh, God.
To be positive if she's bred, but I have never seen her come into heat for the 5 months I've had her, and they are neighbors.
Oh,
there's some lying going on somewhere.
There's a paddock next to telling why do you own it? You shouldn't own anything. Well, I think what Olivia was saying when she sent this in is that all of these were posted kind of at the same time.
Oh.
So three separate ads. So it's not the same, like,
same
it's
horse.
Just somebody who's just full of crap. Oh, I hate people.
That's a scammer, probably.
Y'all, this is one of those things, like, don't buy the horse without going to see it. And just don't buy the horse. Like, say, I'm going to move on. It just makes me mad. I get mad on Fridays now. Okay. Carol sent the next one in.
And this, you guys are going to cause Jamie to quit.
I mean, my head explodes after Fridays, I swear. Like, I have to have a drink and go to bed.
You used to have a saying. What was your saying you said every week? And now you've stopped saying it. You got to start saying it again.
Which saying? I say 9 billion things.
Yeah, but during really bad ads. No.
That.
No.
Oh, no soul.
No soul, Jamie.
I have to. So, like, they're scammers. They're messing with horses and people. I just. Okay.
No soul.
No soul.
We're
no
teaching. Soul. Look at it this way. We are doing an educational segment on how to spot spammers.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Look at it differently.
We're educating.
We're providing
people.
A service here.
No soul. The horse is in the middle of the disaster, but no soul. Okay, Carol sent the next one in, and this is a very lovely looking bay horse. Sage is a Friesian cross 16-1 HH 17-year-old gelding, easy to catch in the pasture, good demeanor, stands for the farrier, stands to bath, stands to mount, dismount, cross ties, easy to load, easy to settle and ride, no issues with cars, dogs, or other livestock.
Well, that sounds perfect. Like a great horse. I want it.
Price reduced to 2,000. I want this horse. Wait, there's more. I am looking to trade for something smaller, around 14.2, Sage is 16.1. I need something sound well broke. Wait, hold on. Isn't he sounding well? Okay. I need something sound well broke. Don't care about sex. Nothing older than 18. That's your horse. He's all of those things. Oh, I need a horse that can build my confidence back up. Now we get why she's selling Sage.
Sage apparently, I'm guessing Sage was the cause of lack of confidence.
I'm looking for the exact horse that I own, but one that's not going to hurt me. Oh, God.
She probably should have left that last sentence out in the sales ad.
Carol, if this horse is near you, I would love to the information because I think I need this Friesian cross with a G. I mean, look at his head. He has a giant Friesian head. Like, oh, bless him. Like, he's got a big giant Friesian head. So, yeah, cool. All right. Sounds good. Get yourself a horse that's not your own, but is just like your horse.
Cynthia sent the next one in. Horses for sale in Northern California. Ooh, it's short. Selling my mare. Hit me up if you're interested. And that's it. That's the whole ad. And it's a picture of a skinny white horse in a dry lot.
I'm sorry, but don't people use the term hit me up for like booty calls?
Well, we don't know if there's other ulterior motives in this one. We have no idea.
Hit me up, yo. You up? Like you
maybe the horse is looking for a booty call. We don't know. It's a mare.
God, standing in a dirt lot. It looks like a little what, like Connemara something or other, standing in on red clay.
Jamie, I have to make an apology.
Uh-oh.
I got called out for something I said. Well, I get called out a lot for something I say, but I got called out for this one particular thing. Apparently, at one point, really bad ads, I made fun of Norco, California. We were there. We like Norco. We spent a whole week in Norco. We got to be in the parade in Norco.
Is a crazy place.
It is a crazy. It's different. There's nothing like Norco. We can safely say this. There is nothing like Norco in this entire country other than Norco.
So what's your point? What did you do wrong?
Apparently, I picked on Norco, and several of our listeners live in Norco, and they were offended that I picked on Norco, and I apologize.
Oh, my God. Wait, hold on. Did we say something that offended somebody?
No. And apparently, crazy. I said the World Cup was in Oklahoma, and it was in Omaha. But I got called out for that. But I don't need to apologize. Us Easterners, all those states in the middle, kind of run together.
Hold on. I need a pen. I need to write this down because it's revolutionary. So far, we have said something that offended somebody and something that was wrong.
Yes. All in the same week, well, apparently.
Those are both your problem, my friend. I am perfect.
And I'm sure I offended somebody when I said that all the states in the middle kind of run together. But you lived on the East Coast. Didn't all the states in the middle kind of be a big blur?
I'm pissed right now because I live in the middle right now, and I'm completely offended. And I can't believe you would dare say something like
that. Where's Idaho from you?
Above us, and I think to the left.
Point taken.
I know where Idaho is. I've been there. Okay. Idaho is a lovely place. I'm not the offensive one on the show. It's him. Next ad, let's get on with it before you offend more people. Diana sent this one in, and it is from the Lebanon Valley Livestock Facebook page. Oh, that sounds
there's
like
one of those in Pennsylvania. I don't know if this is Pennsylvania, but
Lebanon. Okay, I don't know where that is. Anyway, oh, the horse, I'll tell you, do not buy this horse because of its name. We've learned this week that this name is going to be the end of you. But this is the number 282, Zeus. Zeus is a 12-year-old blue round branded quarter horse scouting. What?
I don't That means someone explain that to us. I'm not going to say it's wrong because we'll be wrong. It probably means something.
And it's probably offensive. So there's that too. Zeus is a 12-year-old blue round branded quarter horse scouting.
He is round. I'll give you that. He's very round.
That is a excellent, exceptional horse. Once in lifetime gelding, he rides at Angle. She rides Western.
Oh, wait a minute. Is it he or she?
Okay. Let me just say, you are not going to buy this horse because his name is Zeus. You're not going to buy this horse because these people are scammers or idiots. Either one.
It's been a he or she in the same ad. So, oh, but it does say that team sorting.
I got more to read.
Oh.
I got more to read here. Hold on. He has been roped on. He has been team panning, team sorting trail riding kids safe. A very nice gelding. Don't mix.
What? Is it a mare gelding? And it? What does it mix with?
Don't miss this once in a lifetime horse. We'll be at Lebanon Valley Horse Sale on Saturday, April 11th. Oh, we missed the sale. Dang it. All horses must go through the sales ring. No selling before.
Oh, my God. Okay, this one wins the award for just bad ad.
That's just terrible. I'm so glad you sent that one in, Diana. Fan-damn-tastic.
Matt sent the trailer of the weekend.
Oh, that's not a trailer, baby.
I love the description. Stock trailer, $1. Solid frame, needs new floor, as is free.
Yeah. Get this thing off my property. It's like one of those single horse trailers on a very narrow axle, but it's like wood.
Homemade.
It's not metal. It's like wood on the sides. Like the horse would literally kick through it in 2 seconds.
Do you know what it looks like? In the old Westerns, when they were bringing the prisoners to jail in the wooden wagon in the back with the horses pulling it, it looks like one of those wagons for prisoners going to jail in the old West.
That's what they loaded him in Cowboys and Aliens. Man.
It is. Right. You're right.
The exact one.
He should be charging more than that for free. You could. This is probably an antique.
Oh, wow. Scroll down because here's the super bonus, Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see the next picture?
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that before.
There's two spare tires that are available that will come with this trailer. Glenn, where can they find the spare tires?
They're underneath the trailer in weeds. You can barely see them. You're going to have to get a weed whacker out to get the tires out.
I had to draw arrows to point out where the tires buried. Are because they're buried. And I'm pretty sure they're holding up the trailer.
I'm guessing they're a little dry rotted. That's my guess. I could be wrong.
You know what? The price is right. It's $1. Yeah. Take your chances. Jolynn sent the next one in. This is from Pacific Northwest Livestock Page. Oh, we're getting so good with livestock pages today. Let's see it. Okay. So, anyone want a goose? I'll just go ahead and say no. Her name is Kyle. LOL, she will be due this March.
Haven't we talked a lot about Kyle this week, too?
I know.
Zeus and Kyle.
Confirmed female. She laid eggs last year with no male present. African gray from a feed store. She is not friendly.
No kidding.
But not rude. You can be close to her. But she is not gonna seek you out for attention the way the turkeys do. LOL. She may be. It's a picture of a goose who's like doing that low head, like snaking thing. Like that one. And it's behind it is a couple turkeys. So she may be a serial killer, though. The past three boyfriends she has had have all ended up missing with no signs. Out of our fenced yard, even though my big Tom turkey is slower. What? I think she may have a pack with the coyotes. Girl boss that don't want any men holding her back. So yeah, LMK, if you want her, located in Royal City, Washington, comes with a dog crate. She keeps murdering her husband. That's awesome. I mean, not awesome, but funny.
There's a lot of... the only experience I've ever had with geese were not good ones.
Well, we had the two geese that we got, Harry Potter and Hermione, and we raised them, and they would follow me around when I was riding, and they were so sweet. And then all of a sudden, Harry Potter became a murderous son of a what? And I mean, it was like a scary to walk outside, and he would just full on attack. So I put an ad on Facebook and I was like, anybody who wants these geese, come and get them. We loved them. I loved Hermione. She was a little baby, but I didn't want her to be separated from Harry Potter. So I put them online, and this lady in 5 minutes was at my door, and I was like, listen, this goose is going to attack you. She's like, we love geese. Put him in the car. And I was like, bye, Mary. Bye, Hermione. Thanks for playing. So that's my goose experience in a nutshell.
The first farm I lived at with Jennifer's 100-acre farm, at the end of the long driveway was a house that had geese, pet geese like yours, except they were loose all the time. So when you'd go, if you would go by on the horses, they would attack. They would be in full flight attack mode. And they would attack anything that went by. How they never got hit by a car, I don't know.
I walked out of my garage and I was heading to the gym, and I had my big kickboxing equipment bag, and I had a giant gallon of water in the other hand, and I had my car keys sitting there. And I don't know what happened, but Harry Potter just leapt in the air and like hit me in the chest with his front legs. Boom! And they're geese. He's huge.
Yeah.
And he knocks me down. I dump water all over me, all over him. I'm screaming. Chad had to come out and punt him repeatedly to get him off me. And I'm like, you son, I have raised you from an infant. I hand fed you like yesterday.
Ungrateful little.
They were like, you sure you don't want me to pay you for him when we take him? I'm like, just take him.
Okay, really bad ads are taking a long time today because we keep getting off track. Let's do one more. Brenda sent this one in. Brenda, this is the last one today. We keep getting totally off track.
You pronounce it correctly because, yeah, let's see how this goes.
Tail gelding, $3,200. What's a tail gelding? A gelding with a tail? I don't know what that means. Oh, I know what it means now. 17-year gentle trail horse. I think they meant to say trail gelding. Very gentle. Best for intermediate rider. Period. No spaces. Oh, there's lots of punctuation, but no spaces. Okay. 17-year-old trail horse. Very gentle. Best for intermediate rider, about 14H. Good with feet, rides out quick, no buck or spook. Come try him in Chino Valley. $3,200 or trade for calves.
Yeah, this is a Chino Valley is in Arizona. And by the way, he rides out quite, not quick.
Oh.
The other one that Bethany sent in, I thought you were going to read, and it's Quater Horse. Why? It's the word thoroughbred. And quarter horse, people have such issues spelling.
I still can't spell thoroughbred. I can't spell it. I have to look it up every time.
Thorough bread.
Apparently, I don't know how to spell thorough because I
can't. Oh my God.
I can't do it. Well, now you might as well read the last one. We're here.
Quater horse for sale, 3,000 in Las Vegas. Beautiful alpha quater horse. An alpha. 20 years. He is so healthy and showing no signs of slowing down. He loves to run and play be ridden. Big boy. This horse for an experienced rider or very confident rider.
He's 20 years old and still playing the games.
Still scaring everybody.
They want $3,000 for that gem.
20 years old, baby. What a deal. He'll buck you off even at 20. Bless your heart.
Well, thank you, everybody, for sending in ads. You can send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Next week, we'll give away the prizes. So we're actually having to record next week's show a little early because where will you be next Friday, Jamie?
Next Friday, I'm going to be in Kentucky, Glenn.
And what will you not be watching on Friday while you're in Kentucky, Jamie?
Oh, I don't know.
Dressage. You will. I guarantee you won't be watching dressage.
Oh, no, we're going to go to some. I go shopping on Wednesday. I go to do Keeneland on Thursday. And then I might peek in for a little dressage. But for the most part, I'm going to go do racehorse stuff. Actually, you know what's really cool I'm doing next Friday? Do you know that I hate the word, but do you know that influencer guy that had, let's see, what is his name? His name is Griffin Johnson.
Didn't he have a horse or something last year? with something.
Yes, he had Sandman, and now he's like a total like racehorse person. Like he's gotten a whole lot of. Anyway, I'm doing a tour of TaylorMade Farms with him. They started selling tickets, and so all of us girls bought tickets. So we're gonna be hanging out with Griffin Johnson this time next Friday, Glenn.
And now I've offended the dressage community. I'm going to be getting emails about that as well.
That's okay. I offended the influencer community. So we pissed everybody off today.
If there's anybody that we haven't made mad today, drop me an email.
We'll make you mad in the post show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hang around for that. I have a follow-up to last week's post show that caused quite a few posts on the auditor room.
I had to make a confession to my husband yesterday.
We're going to be doing that in the post show too. So have a terrific weekend, everybody. Be safe. We'll be back here on Monday.
All right, spay, neuter, geld.